Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. I'm the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. We roll into the middle of January, the dog days of the NHL season, and a fair amount to talk about on a Monday evening.
Yep. I think we should update the podcast name to Weekly Vancouver Canucks Wellness Update.
There's no wellness. There's no wellness at all.
No wellness, but like for no me, wellness. I mean, no, pretty much a dead corpse talking about this damn team nowadays, but... yep, another week, another gong show, headline. Yep, my team making the headlines for all the wrong reasons right now.
We have plenty to talk about when it comes to that. Other things going on, NFL playoffs started. I watched a little bit of that yesterday. I'm not a huge football guy, but,
some decent playoff games. I love watching football. I mean, I've grown to watch it more like the past few years, like, growing up as a big CFL guy, and now I'm watching more NFL and CFL. And
I think that's the case with a lot of Canadians.
Yeah.
Like which is sad.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, there's, I don't know. It's just not very fun to watch right now for CFL fans. But, yeah, I don't know. Playoffs have been fun so far. Yeah. Wild comeback. And, yeah, have been some pretty good games.
Last week, we talked about the Blake Wheeler injury. And how he got, that's a bad injury, right? Then I read about Carlson this week and how his injury, he had to have his ear reattached.
Really? I did not see that.
He got injured on the 24th and had to have, his ear reattached. And, I can't imagine what that feels like.
Did he get a puck in the ear or something?
Yeah, on the 23rd of December, he got hit in the head of the slap shot, obviously in the ear area, and he went off and it looked like more than a ton of discomfort. And come to find
hockey
out.
Players, man, tough as nails.
Oh, speaking of tough as nails and stupid as shit, I guess would be the next term. Stuart Skinner has to fly home for the birth of his first child, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mark Spector tweets about it and just explains the situation that Jack Campbell will start against in Anaheim and in San Jose, and Kelvin Pickard will be backing up. And this goofball, I'm going to name his name too because he's a goofball, Mr. Peter Burns. He says in his tweet, I know it's the birth of his child. I know that the birth of his child is important, but our team is in a tough spot and every win is critical. I would think his focus should be 100% on the Oilers and he shouldn't miss any games, so he's supporting his team. The price you pay for playing in the big leagues.
Yeah, that's a joke. It's very common knowledge that, Everybody leaves for the birth of their child or medical family emergencies, and he must be new to the party in that department. But it was actually, it might have been a blessing that he had to leave the team, because Jack Campbell needed to get relied on, and he ended up winning two straight games, and he was really good in Vegas. So maybe back-to-back wins. I know one of them was San Jose, and he looked really good in the third period against Vegas on Hockey Night in Canada. Maybe that gives him a little confidence moving forward, because that would help the Oilers big time if they can have two goalies to rely on.
Well, let's face facts. The Oilers are not going to go anywhere if they don't get...
It seems like it's a team that has to heavily rely on their power play, and, you know, I mean, they got what, 7 power plays versus the Ducks? Or, no, sorry, the Kings. And they went like 0 for 7, and the Kings scored 4 power play goals. That seems like if the Oilers don't score in the power play, they don't win the game, right? I mean, that's where their success lies. And, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Lots to talk about on the show today. Boy, I can't even speak. We're going to talk about the Vancouver Canucks and how I don't even know. I think they've overtaken the Arizona Coyotes as the laughing stock of the National Hockey League. Blake's a big Canucks guy. We will get his take. We'll discuss that in detail. Then we'll go around the National Hockey League, talk about the Kraken, keep cracking. Punch him for a 5,000, Lehner's bankruptcy, Evander Kane injury, and Matthew Boldy signs in Minnesota. All right, Blake. You know, it seems like every week we talk Vancouver Canucks, and I'm not even trying to bring this up. Because quite honestly, I didn't even want to talk about the Canucks today. But, like, there's literally, it was such a disastrous week for the Canucks that it's headlines front and center National Hockey League. And we can't push this under the rug and pretend it's not happening. This is more than a dumpster fire, probably more than a train wreck. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the topic and you roll with the take on it since you're the Vancouver specialist. First off, they have the most multi-goal blown leads through 40 games in the history of the National Hockey League. Oliver Ekman-Larsson gets scratched from the lineup. I'll roll through everything that happened this week and then we'll talk about it in detail. Tanner Pearson's injury, surgery, infection. JT Miller flips out on the bench, slams his stick, yells at his team. Hughes goes to the press saying that the injury of Tanner Pearson was not handled properly. An investigation from the National Hockey League Players Association on the injury. Pedersen talks about his contract renewal. Horvat left unsigned and disappointed. Rumors of Tocchet taking over for Boudreau, and Boudreau literally hung out to drive to a level of embarrassment that I have never seen before. And an ownership group that's shitty to start with has made themselves even shittier. All right, Blake.
Where do you want to start? I mean,
fill in the blanks.
I mean, they did a press conference today and it was, the first half was a big waste of time. They brought on a doctor on Rutherford's left and, the guy in charge of the medical department on the right. And they took about, say 6-7 questions about the Tanner Pearson injury. And the doctor kept saying, we can't provide any detail due to the privacy of the player's injury, yada, yada, yada. So they didn't get any answers.
So it was a bunch of BS then.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's, the whole situation just seems fishy to me because.
Please tell me you're not defending the Canucks.
No, like it just. I don't know the whole story. Nobody does. But what I want to know is how a 4-6 hand injury turns into two surgeries, three surgeries. He might need a fourth and fifth down the road, and we don't know if he's going to play hockey next year. Like, I don't know how a 4-6 hand injury.
He's already had surgeries on his hand.
He's had Canucks, three surgeries on
I know,
his
and
hand.
The Canucks said they didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's not good. Woo, I mean,
good ownership.
I want to know how a 4-6 week injury turns into this mess though. Like I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. There's a lot of fans that are curious about this, and
this is the least of my worries about this whole Vancouver issue. This is the lowest of them.
It's not good though.
No, but it's the lowest. Well, how about the child abuse that's been swept under the rug? I mean, we have so many things that have just been like, oh, pretend that didn't happen. It looks like the Biden administration. Like, what are we doing here? Like, are they coming to clean here in Vancouver? Are we going to try to fix this problem? Or are we just going to pretend like the problem doesn't exist?
Well, and then the Rutherford press conference was the second half where he actually took hockey questions was an up and down roller coaster. I mean, he talked about how he wanted to get 23 to 26 year old players and get draft picks, and you know, some of the core players are going to get traded. I don't know, man. Like he kept using the word retool, retool, retool. The Canucks have been retooling since 2013. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It isn't working. Fans are screaming for a full rebuild here, right? And like that's might have to be what it takes to get this train wreck on the road.
But if you're going to scream for a full rebuild, then I'm Elias Pettersson. I ain't signing here. I'm out, man.
He's still at a young age, though.
I don't care. He can go somewhere and win now.
Yeah, but we'll see. I don't know.
He can leave next year.
That's why you don't want to rebuild.
Semantics?
What I'm saying. You don't want to scare those players away. You want to say, listen.
Don't worry. They're scared, Blake.
I just want a plan, dude. That's all I want. Jim Benning. We live day to day. Blah, blah, blah. Like that. That Ekman-Larsson trade, oh my God, like it might be one of the worst in NHL history.
You said it was good when it happened.
Yeah, no, I liked Garland, but like, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson didn't play that bad last year, but this year he is on the ice for 44 even strength goals against. He was a healthy scratch last week. Rutherford talked about buying out players next year. You're not buying out Myers because you only save $600,000. You can maybe buy out Connor Garland. You save $8 million the next 2 years, or you can buy out Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Those are your three options, right? Those are your three options that I would look at. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, like, I don't know. Like, you buy him out, he's got, and then it goes from a four-year cap hit to an 8-year cap hit. So like you're just punting it down the road. That's
the dumbest thing to do.
That's how you save the most cap. That's would create cap flexibility, but you would also add 4 more years.
That would not be smart.
But the Canucks need to hit this deadline out of the park. They have to hit it out of the park. They have to trade Luke Shen for whatever they can get. You gotta get Blake. A good return for Horvat. And listen, I would trade Kuzmenko because call me crazy.
Well, they're gonna trade him.
Kuzmenko might have more value than Horvat.
They're gonna trade
him. He might have more value than Horvat because of his cap hit. Yes. And he's gonna be a 30 goal scorer. I would cash in on him so quick.
Okay, but
in on Kuzmenko.
Listen to me for 1 second. You're hoping that the same management group that signed Brock Besser and then 1 month later.
Not 1 month.
6 weeks. Sorry, 6 weeks. No shit. 6 weeks later was looking to deal him. 6 weeks. Now, you're hoping that the same management group hits it out of the park. Rutherford says yesterday, I'm disappointed in the job I've done to this point. We have to do major surgery. He follows it up by saying, I'll say the obvious. We want the first overall pick this year of all years.
Okay. Yeah. No shit. Every general manager would want Connor Bedard. What do you mean? It was a dumb question, first of all. The Canucks need so much needs to happen here.
So let's start with the top here. JT Miller, is he staying or going?
He's gonna stay.
You want him?
He's a big part of the team. He wears his heart on his sleeve, dude.
Yeah. Everybody knows
this. Take him in Calgary in a heartbeat.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
I don't like cancers.
Yes, you would.
I don't like cancers.
Even Elliot Friedman said you need some pricks on your team.
There's a difference between pricks on the ice, not pricks to his teammate.
Listen.
There's a big difference there, Blake.
You're telling me there's no ball busters in the room in the NHL?
Sure there is, but most of them are hated. Vander Kane was one of them, got ran out of Winnipeg.
He's looking pretty good in Edmonton.
Yeah, and he's also been beaten down over the years and almost lost everything, so you kind of get smarter. You get a little smarter. No.
For sure.
Right? JT Miller, someone needs to drag him up behind you. Okay.
Continue down the list.
So Hughes goes out in the public, and I actually condone his comments, but goes against management and says, no, they're not doing this right. And he speaks up negatively against his team. And I agree with
that. That actually opened my eyes a lot because Hughes is a pretty reserved, quiet guy. And like when I heard that, I was like, whoa, like out of all the people on the team, that is the last guy I would have on my list to say something like that. That which is crazy because he doesn't say a thing. He just goes about his business and lets his play do the talking.
Horvat's not going to re-sign there. He says, I believe we've taken our best shot.
Which I 1,000% agree with what Rutherford said. What we offer Horvat is fair value for what he has provided for the Canucks up until this season. And I firmly believe you will go absolutely nowhere as an organization if you make emotional decisions based off a contract year.
I agree. Right? I agree. But let me ask you this question.
Horvat gets, he's at 30 goals right now. He's on pace for 52 goals.
You can't pay him that. He's a 30 goal scorer.
But he's got 30 goals right now, Brad.
I understand that. But that's what I'm saying. 60,
whatever.
Whoever signs him is going to give him too much money and it's going to be bad.
That's what I'm saying.
But Blake,
you can't make an emotional decision based off a contract year. Blake, we see this all the time.
I'm not talking about that though. The way they've handled him has been atrocious.
They've offered him 7.25. Okay,
so
that's
why
fair.
Why would you take that if you're Horvat? Would you want to sign with this train wreck? They could offer him $15 million a year, and I'd be like, I'm not signing.
All of the fans are like, oh my God, the management's just like not treating Horvat good. They're offering him a fair contract. They offer him 8 years, 7.25. That was the reported number. And Horvat wants like over 8 million. He's a 60 point player, man. He may never get this production in his career. Right? Well, look at Kadri. Look at Gaudreau last year. Like it happens all the time. All the time. Mm-hmm. You can't make emotional decisions on contract years. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I know, but you don't treat them like shit along the way.
Where does it say that they're doing that,
though? They signed JT Miller and freaking kick Horvat to the curb.
Because, okay, Brad, you look at, okay, yes, Horvat is the heart and soul of the team. He's the captain. But are you going to sign a guy, Horvat is a year younger than Miller. Are you going to sign a 100-point player or a guy that's been a 30-goal, 60-point player?
Think JT Miller is a 100-point player every year? Because I don't.
I don't. No, it's not fair to
you did, but that's how you signed him.
Sure, but for what he got, that's fair value. That's fair value. JT Miller has been done nothing but produce ever since he's been in a Canucks uniform.
He's been pointed out twice on Hockey Night in Canada for his extremely lazy play. Twice he's been pointed out by Kevin Bieksa.
You can go through every single team single team has a lazy player.
So you want your lazy player making that kind of money?
You literally dogged Gaudreau all year last year for his lazy play.
Not last year, the year before.
He's a 100-point player.
The only reason Gaudreau wasn't lazy last year is because he was in a contract year. The year before, he was lazy.
What are we talking about with Bo Horvat right now, though? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
No, Bo Horvat's never been a lazy player.
No, he's never. I'm not saying he's a lazy player.
That's
but,
not fair.
But the Canucks have offered him a contract that is I know, fair.
And I'm agreeing with you on that. I'm not arguing that with you. I'm arguing the JT Miller thing. So you're telling me, Blake, you want that guy leading this rebuild?
Preferably not, but it is what it is.
I'm just asking you an honest question.
They have 7 years of him.
That's the guy that you want leading the ship.
Wouldn't be my first choice, but he's a good player.
So trade him.
I don't know, man. Like, can you trade that contract now?
No, you eat a little bit, but you get a huge return.
Yeah.
You eat a little bit of that, and you get a big return. Listen, you have to play this smart. You're going to have to eat some along the way. And why not eat it on a guy like that where you're going to get first-round picks? You're going to get something. You're not going to get it with Horvat.
Like the Canucks need to take a couple steps back. Like you have to take 3-4 steps back, maybe even order to move forward.
Absolutely. And so you can't go into the room.
There's too much anchors on this team. The Ekman Larson, Tyler Myers, Brock Besser's production's way below what he's paid to be.
But that's done. You just signed him. You just signed him. So that one's, you're eating that one.
Hang on one second though.
Hold your thought. Can you hand the keys to Pettersson with JT Miller on the team?
I think it already has been handed to him.
Well, it doesn't look like it.
What do you mean it doesn't look like it?
I'm not talking points. I'm not talking points.
I'm not talking points either. I'm talking about his play.
Yes.
He's carrying the whole team on his back right now.
100%. Cause he works hard too. But how can he be the key holder to the rebuild when he's got Mr. JT Miller in the room? I don't think it works.
I think Pettersson has a C on his jersey next year.
I don't disagree. But just cause you have the C, doesn't mean you're running the room.
Sure. I mean, it good teams don't have one guy in the room.
The best way for Vancouver to get out of this mess is to trade JT Miller. You're going to get a return.
Maybe that happens at the draft.
You're going to get a return.
Because I want to double check something here.
But, you know, you look. And I guess
he does not have a no trade clause, so like there's no blockage there. So,
yes, he does.
Never mind. Yes, he does. He's got a no move clause till 2027, so he would have to waive. I don't know.
I know he waives. Does he think he wants to be in the shithole mess? Does he look happy to you? Does he look happy to you? I think he'd waive and freaking cartwheel all the way through the Vancouver airport.
Okay, but the one question I have is, does Vancouver just shut down Demko for the rest of the year? I don't know. Like, that's something to... No,
you can't do that.
What do you mean? And you can, that happens all the time.
Why would you do that though? He's a young goalie. He needs reps too. He's not like he needs to play.
This is what's going to happen. And I will tell you how the rest of the season is going to play out. Okay. Demko's going to come back in 2 weeks. He's going to go on a hot stretch. He's going to steal a lot of games for the Canucks and they're going to finish in the mushy middle and draft 14th overall.
Well, he wasn't hot before he got injured, so I don't know what makes you think he's coming back.
He's due to go on a stretch when he comes back. It's already in the script. It's in the script. He's gonna stand on his head. He's gonna steal a bunch of games for the Canucks, and they're gonna draft 14th overall. And is that the best for this team? No. You need a tank. You need to get a top three pick, and you need to do something different, man. My whole childhood, the Canucks were one of the most respected, well-run organizations in the league. I was texting with you this the other day. And from the West Coast Express days to the Luongo and the Sedin days to the Cup in 2011, you won back-to-back President's Trophies in 11 and 12. And after 2014, this organization has just been a disaster. Like, how does that happen over a course of 4 years? Like, I just don't understand.
Bad ownership.
But it's been the same ownership since the Luongo era. So what's changed? How do you go from such a good organization to this?
Bad contracts.
Poor management. Makes zero sense.
You know what the biggest thing that's got me the most frustrated about this right now? Is the way they're handling Bruce Boudreau.
It breaks my heart, dude.
He's one of the class acts of the National Hockey League. One of the most well-respected coaches of all time. I'm not even joking when I say that.
No, he is. He might be a top five coach all time.
And they're treating him like a dog at the pound.
Like
it's embarrassing for the league.
I thought if they lost to Carolina last night, Boudreau was going to get fired this morning. I legitimately thought that. And then they come back and they win a shootout, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I still think he should be fired. Mike Yeo should be take over till the end of the year. But like, the Rick Tocchet stuff just makes no sense to me.
They're going to hire him.
It makes zero sense to me because
that's your first step of your rebuild.
Rutherford wants structure. Okay. Travis Green was known to be a structure guy. Defense first. Play hard in your own end.
You can't
sacrifice some offense. Listen, that didn't work. That didn't work with the Canucks. So why bring in Tocchet?
Why didn't it work?
A structure guy.
Why didn't it work?
Because they don't play. They don't work hard and
so maybe
they don't try.
So maybe you need new players, Blake. Listen to what you just said.
I literally just said, try something new, man. Get a new core. Trade players. Get some new players in and see if something else works.
So
like the definition of insanity? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know, but
like it's so frustrating.
My one wish is that I hope when Bruce Boudreau is finally fired that he comes out with a book about how messed up this whole situation is. A tell-all book. I would say it all.
He came to the because team last year.
If that team ever says anything to Boudreau, I would tell him that organization to shove it up your ass the way you treated me.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's not right.
It's embarrassing.
It's not good.
All right, time to go around the league. All right, let's talk Seattle Kraken. And this team just keeps on winning every single night. Winners of, what is it, nine now? Eight. Eight straight the whole month of January, have not lost. Seven of them on the road, win seven straight on the road. They beat good teams, beat Edmonton 5-2, beat Toronto 5-1. Put an eight spot up on Ottawa, 4-0 over the Habs, 4-3 over the Sabres, 3-0 in Boston over the Boston Bruins. And then put up
they had them their first regulation loss at home.
Unreal. This team is
I'm telling you, this is Vegas inaugural season all over again. It is.
It's actually better.
It ain't happening.
It's actually better.
But it's crazier because they don't have the talent that Vegas had, right? We talked about that last week. It's incredible. And I wonder what they do at the deadline. I'm really curious.
Why do anything? They have 13 players with 20 points or more.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's second in the league.
I think it's first or second in the league.
Yeah.
They scored six shots, six goals against the Blackhawks.
No, five goals on six shots. In the first period, I'm just like, what is going on here?
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. It was 5-0 in the first like 5 minutes of the game.
I just saw a tweet that said Chicago is taking this race for Bedard very seriously. And it showed the scoreboard. I don't know what to say about this team other than even if they fall off the wagon and play 500 hockey from here on out, they're making the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you get off to a good start in the first 2-3 months, you're pretty much a playoff team, right? I mean, the math shows, like, if you're in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving, we talked about it. What is it? 78% of the chance you make the playoffs?
76 or something. 76.4 or something like that.
That you make the playoffs if you're in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on. They're just a gritty team. Like we, you know, when they drafted that team and we're just like, what is Seattle doing here?
Blake, the team they drafted is a lot different than this year's team.
No, I know.
A lot.
But they like bringing in Burakovsky, like that was a big signing for them. Like he's their leading scorer now. Like, and that's a guy that just was a big part of that cup winning team last year.
He is not their leading scorer.
Who is Beniers?
Yeah, by 5 goals.
Oh. Leading, no, like, is he leading points, though?
He's tied for the points.
But oh, okay.
But he's a minus two. So. But he's a minus two, and Matty Beniers is a plus 14.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
That means Burakovsky gets lots of points in the power play.
Yeah, and is not very good 5-on-5.
Jesus. But, like, I don't, they just work hard. Like, they got a bunch of scrappy guys. Like, guys like Jaden Schwartz. Eberle's been around for a while. Like, it's just kind of like a bunch of misfits, and they're just like clashing right now. I don't know.
Yeah, they've been doing
it. Well, it also helps if Martin Jones just rises from the dead.
I don't think he was ever
on their bingo card at the start of the year.
I didn't think he's going to be this good, but I never wrote him off. I mean, I always think he's been a solid goaltender.
Yeah, but we never would have thought he would have a starting job again in the league after the few years he's had, right?
I'm learning.
We're almost in February here, and who would have thought that he has more starts than Grubauer? Like, not me.
You know what, though, Blake? I'm learning more and more every year about goaltending.
Yeah.
And it is the most cyclical position there is. And I'm learning more about it every year where it's just like, it is a roller coaster ride.
Yep. That's why it's crazy how consistent some of them can be. And it's pretty impressive.
I love this story. And it's mostly because I made up the second part of this story in my head. I can almost bet you that there has been text messages sent between National Hockey League players this week saying, well, I'll pay $5,000 to punch Connor Garland in the face.
That was complete bullshit.
The Tampa Bay-Vancouver game of the night where Tampa Bay won 5-4. Mikhail Sergachev basically sucker punched Connor Garland bigger than life and was fined $5,000 for it. But the way Connor Garland plays, I guarantee you there's a lot of other players that were sitting in their stall that night looking at their phone going, I'll do that for $5,000.
Like, Connor Garland is a pest. And he is a shit disturber out there. But that doesn't give you the right to sucker punch a guy when he's not looking. Like, how that's not a 2-game suspension is a joke.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
That's just like flat out dirty shit. And from Sergachev, I'm not even surprised. He's a dirty player. Like, I'm not surprised.
I don't know.
I'm not surprised one bit. Last year he slew-footed Buddy in the playoff. He's a dirty player. He's getting the reputation of a dirty player. I don't like it. Should have been at least a 2-game suspension. That's a joke.
But you gotta admit, like,
yeah,
Connor Garland has had that coming. Sure. Connor Garland's had that coming.
He gets it every game. He plays the game hard. Yeah. That's just what it is. But like, that was bad. We've been talking about the inconsistencies of the suspensions, and another one bites the dust.
We've been chirping that horn for 2 years. 2 years. What am I talking about?
Two.
What are we in year six of this show?
Yeah, six. Year six.
All right. Next story. Robin Lehner, Golden Knights goaltender, files for bankruptcy. I made a prediction a year ago that Robin Lehner's done in the National Hockey League, and you thought I was crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy right now.
So what, he had an exotic snake farm?
I'll read what the press release says here. It says, Lehner and his wife, Donya, filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy with liabilities between $10 million and $50 million, a bankruptcy filing date of December 30th in the state of Nevada. The bankruptcy stems from an exotic snake farm the veteran goaltender purchased in 2017. That year, Lehner bought it for $1.2 million collection of snakes from a man named Ben Renick. A few months later, Renick was murdered by his wife and her ex-boyfriend. He made the initial payment of $2,000 to Renick and has never paid another cent to him.
Wait. So he didn't pay the guy that got murdered?
Yeah, you still got to keep paying his estate. If I buy a car from, I mean,
so he bought it for $1.2 million.
Yep.
So you're telling me he didn't make like $6 million a year? U.S.
It's called bad money management, Blake.
Holy shit. I didn't know that. The guy got murdered.
Yeah. Makes Holy you almost wonder if there's more to the story, right? Does it make you wonder a little bit?
Yeah, I might need to read up on that after the pod.
Yeah, it kind of made me go, I wonder if this is a Dateline coming up, NBC Dateline coming up here.
Jeez, that's wild.
Mm-hmm. Could we expect anything less from Robin Lehner? I don't know. I mean, he's entertaining. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's, I mean, we talked about how weird of a cat this guy is, right? And, obviously he's had mental health issues and we were not going to get into that stuff, but, I don't see this guy playing in the league. I'm with you now. I'll say you hit that one out of the park.
Evander Kane preparing for an early return from his injury. He has not played since November 11th when he was, had his left wrist sliced open on a freak play. His reported recovery was 3 to 4 months. It looks like 3 months is like February 3rd, and I heard talk that he's playing this week.
Yeah, he might play Thursday, I think I'd read.
Yeah.
I'm
not surprised by this.
This is great for the Oilers. Like, this is like getting one of the top, trade guys.
Like, you're gonna be able to say this?
Essentially, I can't speak right now, but essentially you're trading for a guy, right? You're getting Evander Kane. He hasn't played in 3 months and, it's a huge boost for an Oilers team that's reeling, right? They're kind of hanging on to that playoffs by a thread here, and they're getting their, top line left winger back, and, it's going to help the Oilers a lot.
Matt Boldy signs with the Minnesota Wild a 7-year, $49 million contract. 21-year-old has 68 points in 89 regular season games. That's 7 times 7. And when I first saw this, I thought right away of the Tage Thompson contract.
Yep.
And I don't mind this one. I don't.
No, I like it. I like it. Last year he had 39 points in 47 games. This year he's got 29-42. I can see this guy being a 30 goal scorer in this league down the road.
40.
I really 40?
Yep.
Yeah, I might be able to go with you there. I mean, he's
got a huge upside.
He's big. He's strong on the puck. I mean,
this is coming from somebody who hates premature contracts.
Me?
Me.
Oh, okay. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't like it when teams pay on projections. You usually get burned.
You usually get burned, but we've seen some of these turn out pretty good early returns, right? I mean, look at Tage Thompson, Batherson in Ottawa. Like there's been a few, Robert Thomas in St. Louis is another one. Like that you're getting early returns on these long-term deals, which might be a direction that a lot of teams go in. I'm not sure.
All right, let's fire on over to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
My favorite part of the show, and this week I get to do the question asking. Question number one, are you ready, Blake?
Let's do it.
Jacob Chychrun of Arizona has been touted as the defenseman most talked about as a trade target. Seems like we've been talking about it for a year over.
Yeah.
The asking price has been batshit crazy would be a good way to phrase it. Is Ivan Provorov of Philadelphia a cheaper and better option for teams looking for defensemen?
Well, I asked you where he's going last week, right?
Yeah, I know, and I was...
You didn't really have an answer for me, but it's definitely a safer option because he's only got 2 years left on his deal at a pretty reasonable price. I don't understand San Jose's thoughts here. Like,
San Jose's thoughts?
Are we not talking about Erik Karlsson?
No, we're talking about Provorov and Chychrun. Did you listen to my question?
Oh, Chychrun. Sorry. I thought you were talking about Karlsson.
I'd answered the Karlsson question last week. I said, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay, dude, off topic here. Did you see what they want for Eric Carlson?
Yeah, that's why he's not going anywhere.
From picks.
That's why he's not going anywhere.
Okay, so the
maybe they can trade him to a WHL team.
Would I rather want Chychrun or Provorov?
Okay. Well, no, I said is Provorov starting to look like a smarter, like when you balance the books?
It's definitely the safest option out there because he's still relatively young, right? He's on a good contract and he's only got 2 years left. I think if I was the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'd be calling right now. I would trade for Provorov instead of Chychrun. I'm serious. I would do that. Because
if I was Edmonton, I'd be calling.
It's only 2 years. Edmonton's another good one because, I mean, Provorov would be their best defenseman. You'd be their best. Well, Evan Bouchard's pretty good too.
No, but, Evan Bouchard is not good defensively.
Yeah, he's getting better. He's getting better. But
it's a train wreck.
Provorov slots in at number one left-hand D on Edmonton, eh?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like it's a safe option for sure.
Alex Nedeljkovic. Question number two. Alex Nedeljkovic was placed on waivers by the Detroit Red Wings on Sunday. He cleared today.
Yeah.
Is it premature to move young goalies like this?
So he's what, 26?
27 years old. Just to run down some of the stats here. In Carolina, yeah. I'm not counting his first 2 years because he played a total of two games. Yeah. His third game, he played four games, so I'm not even counting that. In 2020-21, he played 23 games. He had a 1.9 goals against average, 0.932 save percentage.
Yeah.
Last year in Detroit, he played 58 games, had a 0.901. Like, on a shitty Red Wings team.
He gets eight games this year.
Eight.
Yeah.
Has a 0.88 save percentage and see ya.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, they put Brand on waivers. And hoping that somebody would claim him, but like, I don't know. Like this one didn't really make sense. That he like, I was actually kind of surprised he cleared.
I was shocked he cleared because I looked at a lot of teams. I'm like,
that tells you how many teams have no cap,
no money. Because I mean, $3 million for a young goaltender that has potential.
Is that how much he's making?
Yeah, it's $3 million for this year. He's a UFA at the end of the year. I'm like, holy cow! Like, why wouldn't? Why wouldn't Vancouver take that?
Because Vancouver is
over the cap.
Negative 1.4 cap.
Okay.
That's why they didn't claim it.
Okay. But I mean, you could cut somebody.
No, you know why this guy didn't get claimed? You want to know why? Because all of the teams with cap, why would you claim this guy to make your team a better team when you're tanking for Bedard?
You don't need to play him.
Yeah, but like, okay, the one team that I thought would have claimed him for the rest of the year, maybe Buffalo. I mean, you got 41-year-old Craig Anderson and Ukko Pukkalukkonen. I mean, this guy would help you.
I don't understand. That's my question.
You're trying for a playoff push here.
I don't even know
Ottawa could have claimed him. They need some goaltending help.
So Detroit takes a flyer on him, which I thought was a smart decision.
They gave up a third round pick, I think.
Yeah, they got him for like nothing. And I thought it was a great move to take a chance on him. And then they take the chance on him and he plays good for them last year. And then they don't even give him a chance. It's like, oh, sorry.
But at the same time, They just signed Ville Husso to a 4-year deal.
I don't care. He's a solid backup. We're living in a league where it's a 1-2 anyways. I mean, you need a 1A, 1B anyways. I don't give a shit what team you are. You need two good goaltenders.
Yeah.
I
agree.
I don't get it.
It didn't really make much sense to me for sure.
Jake Ottinger was called for a delay game penalty, for allegedly removing his mask during play to get a stoppage. Did you see this call? Was this correct? And do we need a rules adjustment? Because
Yeah, we do. We do.
We need clarification on this.
We need clarification on this because I went in the rule book and I read the rule and it was called correctly. It was called correctly, but it's also a major gray area.
His helmet came unsnapped.
It's also a major gray area because, first of all, when the goalie gets hit in the mask and the straps come off, it's supposed to be blown dead right away.
Yeah, and like, that's what happened.
It's supposed to be blown dead. It wasn't blown dead. And Odger's looking at the ref, and he's like, hey, my mask is loose. My mask is loose. The ref wasn't looking at him, and all of a sudden he just pops it off because it's unsafe. It's unsafe for a goalie to play without his straps on. He pops it off because he doesn't want to get hurt, and he gets to delay the game. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, this happened to Demko 2 years ago too, and it didn't make sense to me, like at the time. But like by the rule book, that's the rules. If a goalie takes his helmet off while the other team has a scoring chance, it's a delay game. I don't know. It needs to be clarified. There's a lot of gray area, and I don't like it at all.
Listener question from I got through Twitter, StickHandler23. This is the shortest question we've ever had.
Damn, couldn't beat last week's, eh?
But I like it.
Okay.
If you had your choice, would you keep the salary cap or remove it? I can answer it 100%. But
I would keep it because I love the parity that it brings and whatnot, but it makes me wonder how much it could take the NHL to the next level if you allowed teams to spend. And I think
take them to the next level in what? Baseball? Like baseball?
Like, no, not like baseball, but like I'm talking about like popularity. Like, I don't know.
No,
I don't know how to word this, but like I feel like NHL is like the.
Oh God, you're not going like to say this, are you?
The game should be like, okay, so I saw a stat. I saw a tweet.
Oh, you're not going to make me explain this to you again, are you?
I saw a tweet in out of the four major sports in America, they did all of the months and the NHL did not have one single game that was the highest rating for TV.
Do you think
like that's an issue?
Can I explain something to you, Blake?
Go ahead.
I don't know how many times I've had to explain this to you. South of Ohio and across to Colorado, south of there, two-thirds of the United States, it isn't fucking cold enough to make ice, Blake.
No, I know, man. But like,
okay, so do you know what the cost?
What do you think the NHL can do, though, to grow it in those areas?
Nothing.
So you don't think there's any?
No. Do you think an ice machine selling up in Antarctica is going to work? No. Like, I'm going to tell you, God, I can't believe you're even going down this road. I got to explain this shit to you. When you're a little kid living in freaking Tallahassee, Florida, right? And you're going to go play a sport, right? And you go and you say, geez, I wonder what sport I should play. Well, anybody can kick a soccer ball in a field. Anybody can shoot hoops at the local school. Anybody can go pick up a baseball and play catch. You can't just go fucking skate.
We need it, though. We need it so a little kid in Florida gets a $10 ticket, and he goes, Florida, I went online, and I was looking at Florida tickets, they're like $6.
Yes, Blake, I'm talking, he needs to play it.
Now, I know, it is expensive to play, and that's another reason.
Never happen, it'll never change. But
what I'm saying is, we need like kids to grow up and go to a game and be like, hey, I like Barkov. I want to do that.
They do, Blake. But you know what? You can't do that in Toronto anymore as a kid. You can't do that in Edmonton as a kid. You can't do it in Minnesota as a kid because you know what? This league's gotten too goddamn greedy and they priced families right out of the league. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so this, to answer this, your question,
the
though.
The salary cap thing makes the league
it's good.
What it is. And it's unbelievable. Yeah. We have the best playoffs in any sport. because of the salary cap.
Oh, but we are getting teams that are kind of taking advantage of that LTIR, eh?
You know regulations are going to come down on that. If a team's caught cheating, having medical staff say that players are injured that aren't, the hell is going to break loose. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? I think.
I like the salary cap, though. I like the hard cap.
I'm going to put it to you this way. The hard salary cap saved the National Hockey League.
It might have. Because it came right after the lockout 06, yes. Right?
It saved the league. Created so much parity. Created so many.
Well, and there's a minimum floor. Like, you got to spend this much money, too. Yeah. Like, there's a lower and upper limit. It's good.
Players are making their money, man. They're making their money. Blake and I will be back next week. Hopefully it goes a little smoother. Tonight was like a rocky road. Tonight we look like we were Canucks management. Not quite that bad.
No. I'm zoomed in to my eyeballs here.
I don't know what's going on. We kind of ran it like the Ottawa Senators a little bit tonight. I don't know. We're back.
Still waiting for my prediction to come through. DJ Smith getting fired first. I'm waiting for that to happen.
I don't think he's going to beat Boudreaux. God, I hope he doesn't. Let the poor guy go. Feel bad for him.
I know. The guy's just suffering. He's like a suffering dog on the side of the road, got hit by a car. That's what he is right now.
We are back next week to discuss more National Hockey League. Talking hockey every single week. It is the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.